Hi everyone, I'm Jordan Mechner, creator of Prince of Persia, and you're listening to Goddamn GameCube.
Hi everyone, this is Greg, your host of Goddamn GameCube. I am here at the Game Developers Conference. I am honored to be joined by none other than Jordan Mechner, the creator of Prince of Persia. Jordan's graphic novel memoir entitled Replay launched yesterday, March 19th, so we're going to have a brief discussion about his career and also speak about Replay. Jordan, how are you?
Great to be here. Thanks.
We are so happy to have you. So let's start with Replay. Why did you decide that now is the time for a memoir? Do you feel that you're nearing the end of your career, or was it just the right time to get the history written?
The end? Gosh, no, more like the beginning. I mean, I've been so lucky to work in video games, in movies, screenwriting, and writing graphic novels. And the idea of drawing as well as writing one myself is something that really goes back to when I was a kid. Before the Apple II and before I started programming, I used to draw comics. And now I've, it took 40 years, but I've finally written and drawn a big book. And I'm very excited about this chance to create in this new medium that I've always loved.
Awesome. So I have never seen a memoir done as a graphic novel. What was the inspiration? I know perhaps your early aspirations to be a cartoonist. Had you seen maybe other memoirs that were done in that style, or why that style?
Well, when I was a kid growing up in New York, it was really Mad Magazine and those kind of comics that I read. But over the years, I mean, there have been so many wonderful memoirs and other books done in graphic novel form. Art Spiegelman's Mouse, Persepolis, The Arab of the Future are some recent ones. But also living in France, like there's this incredible tradition of graphic novels in all genres.
Gotcha. Okay, so it seems like this memoir was not only your memoir, but also in some way a chance to publish your father's and grandfather's life story. Now, is that accurate? Can you maybe speak on that thought?
Absolutely. Replay is... it's the story of my 40 years making games from the Apple II to today, but it's also interwoven with the story of my father and grandfather. My dad was born in Vienna, Austria in 1931, so he was 7 years old at the time of Hitler's Anschluss, and the family had to flee as refugees. And my grandfather before that had been a soldier in World War I on the wrong side. So
sure.
I grew up hearing their incredible stories and of all the adventures and lucky breaks that had led to them emigrating to the U.S. I'm American, obviously, born and grew up in New York. So I wanted to tell their stories, and the graphic novel format seemed like a perfect way to tell their stories, but also to tell mine.
Gotcha. So I'm not going to spoil for our fans all of the stories that you tell within Replay. I would just recommend that they buy it and read it. So let's move on to Prince of Persia. So firstly, why Prince of Persia? Like, why that setting and characters? Like, were you a fan of like the Arabian Nights, the 1001 Nights kind of fiction? Or like, why that setting? Or way back when you created it?
Yeah, I mean, going back to like 1985 now. So I had just finished college. And of course, as a kid, I had read the 1001 Nights. I had seen movies like Thief of Baghdad. So all of that was kind of in my unconscious. But as to why, you know, I chose that as the setting for, you know, this running, jumping, spike traps platform game that I was about to spend 3 years creating, I think it was one of those mysterious moments when I tapped into something that was ancient and had layers of meaning that I didn't even realize at the time. That's actually part of the subject of Replay, is where the idea of Prince of Persia came from, and how even without realizing it, there was, I almost want to say, destiny at work. Because it makes sense in retrospect on so many levels that I were really not in my mind as a, you know, a 20-year-old mm-hmm. at the time. But for sure, like, the Persian stories are, you know, a treasure of world culture. It's like a deep well that goes back so far. Like,
yeah.
Even by the time the 1001 Nights were first written down in the 10th century, they were already ancient.
Mm-hmm.
And so the combination of these very old stories with the then modern technology of video games, I think it was just a moment when all of these things came together and I was like the vessel for
sure
helping this to happen.
Now, I just want to say to our fans something that I thought was awesome about Replay. I'm not going to spoil it. I'll just say a little. I love the bit about how all the animations were, how they were created, like through like you filming your brother. I don't want to get into all of it, but I loved seeing some of those videos because I remember I played Prince of Persia 1 way after release. It was like an Xbox 360 download. And it was so like vivid to me, like watching your footage and remembering what the character moved like. And so it is a really cool anecdote from Replay that fans should definitely check out. Sort of on that subject of my exposure to Prince of Persia, my first exposure to the franchise was actually Sands of Time. I purchased my original copy when I was about 10 years old. On this show, Goddamn GameCube, we just published an audio essay about why Sands of Time is one of the most influential games ever made. And that was before I knew we were going to meet. So it kind of, our fates kind of align here. So can you tell our audience very specifically, what was your involvement in Sands of Time?
Well, Sands of Time was a very special project. So it was in 2001 that Ubisoft contacted me. At that time, the first Prince of Persia, the 2D games, had kind of run their course. In a way, classic, but also kind of forgotten.
Yes, sure.
There was a new generation of gamers coming. You know, PlayStation 2 was the new console.
Perhaps me, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We knew that we had to make a game that would stand on its own for people who hadn't played or hadn't heard of the first Prince of Persia, and yet would somehow carry the identity of the universe for people who did remember the original game in such a way that they would be satisfied and, you know, we would love this new version. So I went to Montreal, joined a young team at age 36. I was, the old guy in
sure.
the group. Initially, I was involved as the writer.
You mean like narrative?
Yeah, to come up with, the story. And we had this dynamic of the dagger that could turn back time. So, the button on the controller
for the rewind
as a gameplay mechanic sort of inspired the story element of the dagger, and then of course the concept of sand as a resource, of the hourglass that's full of sand, and the cataclysm, the destroyed palace, the relationship between the prince and pharaoh, all of those story elements were created sort of to support and enhance the gameplay itself, which was acrobatic parkour, getting through this destroyed palace universe in unusual ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked with the team for 2 years, and we shipped the game in 2003. I'm so glad that you discovered it at age 10.
Yeah, I am. So two follow-up questions, because now that I know that you were involved in the narrative, something that my co-host Riley and I, that really struck us, when I was 10 years old, perhaps it didn't really, I didn't understand it, but replaying it again at 30, though the way the narrative is structured, where the prince is telling you the story, but he's actually telling Pharaoh the story. Now, was that conceptualized by you? Did you come in with that idea? Because that part of the narrative design was something that my co-hosts and I really honed in on as something we've never seen.
Yeah, and that was an aspect of the project that I really enjoyed. In a way, the Sands of Time is kind of a throwback to those Hollywood noir films like Double Indemnity and
sure.
Sunset Boulevard, where it's narrated by the character in first person in the past tense, but something terrible has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the story, you catch up to the moment where he started the narrative. And of course, that hadn't usually been done in 1001 Nights
sure.
adventure setting. So that was fun. The other thing is that Sands of Time is also secretly a survival horror game.
Right, because, in some ways, yeah.
Because, there's the prince and Pharaoh as the only two people in this world where everybody else has been turned into sand monsters who are trying to kill you.
I make with my co-host is technically three, but one of them gets killed off really early. The guard guy in the puzzles. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so this voiceover narrative was really fun to write. It was really fun to record with Yuri Lowenthal.
Yes.
Great actor.
He was so good in this game.
Yeah, and that's how we met. We met on the set recording the dialogue for Sands of Time in 2002, and then we've, became friends, stayed friends. We were neighbors in Los Angeles, and our paths have crossed in so many ways.
Yeah,
since then. But like, sort of the fun of it is the counterpoint where what the prince is saying, sort of deepens what's being seen on the screen. Like, there's this kind of sort of melancholy aspect as he's looking at the destroyed palace and reminiscing of how he got there. And you know that eventually you're going to find out
right
everything. But then at the same time you're playing. So that was experimental in a way, because
right.
we were wondering, is that going to work? Is the voiceover going to be annoying? Are the players going to, is it going to feel weird that, you know, imagining myself to be the prince, that I'm hearing myself narrate something in past tense that already happened while the outcome is still unknown? But actually it worked out beautifully. And of course, one moment that I still hear from people that they enjoy is when the prince fails or dies and then says, no, that didn't happen that way. He's telling the story and he's just got to correct himself.
And we actually talked about that in the audio essay we did, where we thought that was one of the most clever things we've ever seen, where he's telling someone the story. So of course he didn't die. He's sitting there, right? So, oh no, let me try again. Right?
Yeah.
It's very funny.
And of course the suspense, you know, the surprise of finding out at the end who he's telling the story to and under what circumstances and why he's telling it. And then everything kind of clicks together. That was so much fun to build that in and then to go back and set that up.
I think it is certified awesome for sure.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
One of the, so I should say, Sands of Time was critically acclaimed for really everything, but something that I thought was very unique at the time was the parkour and acrobatic elements, where if you're playing games in 2024, that kind of stuff is in everything, but in 2003, it wasn't. So my question for you is, like, where did the like running up walls or running across walls idea come from? Was it sort of just an iteration on Prince of Persia 1, or was it like a, dude, Tomb Raider tried to do it, so let's do it better? Like, where did it come from?
You know, and that was kind of like the click.
Yeah.
The moment, you know, I was living in Los Angeles at the time. The first time I went to Montreal, met the team, and, you know, they kind of, you know, talked about the project. I had the reservation that, yeah, you know, Broderbund just did a Prince of Persia 3D, and I don't know how, you know, it's difficult to transfer this kind of gameplay from 2D into 3D. It loses, you know, some of the fluidity, the chaining. I mean, Tomb Raider, Prince of Persia 3D had their, you know, good things about them, but the fluidity of playing Prince of Persia in 2D, I felt that had been lost. And so the team showed me a very quick, like a quick time animation test that they had done just with stick figures, showing a character like running up walls, you know, doing these kind of Cirque du Soleil acrobatic moves, you know, with ladders and, you know, not, it didn't match what the final game was, but it had that verticality and that quickness. And when I saw that and just realized that in 3D, the action could be vertical as well as horizontal, and also then, you know, talking about parkour and looking at videos, that just completely blew my mind. I was like, okay, I see it now.
Yep.
Prince of Persia in 3D on the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's do this.
Yeah. And then every game copied it ever since. Okay. Any fun anecdotes about making Sands of Time? Maybe something that fans don't know, something behind the scenes, something quirky, something that was made by accident. Any anecdotes like that about Sands of Time? Or not really?
There's so many. But I'm going to go back to Yuri Lowenthal.
Sure.
Because after, you know, he did such a wonderful job recording the voice, and then we became neighbors in Los Angeles. One day I was walking down the street in Paris. I was there for a meeting with Ubisoft, and there walking down the street towards me is Yuri Lowenthal. And we kind of looked at each other, and he said to his wife, Tara, "Hey, that guy looks like French Jordan." And then
and you're like,
it's
New York Jordan, right?
Like, we were both just in town for the day. Why were we walking down that same block at the same time?
Wow.
Completely random.
That is funny. Okay, so I do have a half joke, half serious question here for Sands of Time. Can you explain why the prince slowly takes his clothes off over the course of the game? It is kind of sexy. It is kind of funny, and it is cool, but it always struck me as like kind of funny. Was there any reasoning behind this? Like, why?
Oh, it wasn't supposed to be funny. We were directly inspired by Die Hard, where Bruce Willis starts out and then he goes, he's alone. He's got to, go through all of the, these hazards. He loses his shoes.
He has to
go barefoot. And then by the end of the movie, he's against the hijackers. He's, shirtless.
He's got
cut and bleeding. So we definitely wanted the prince to start out as a prince, properly
fully armored up,
for battle, and kind of fancy.
Yeah.
But he loses his horse, he loses his armor and his, his cap. And then, he just strips down.
You're dressing a wound and then
it's kind of a way of showing visually, we're really getting down to survival.
Yeah.
And also getting more desperate.
That's,
one human being, a vulnerable body against everything.
When I think about it in a serious sense, it's it shows you game progression, you're bandaging your wounds and you're kind of just making your way deeper and deeper into the palace. That is interesting though, Die Hard. I will say this too, some of the more recent Batman games do that, where your cape gets more tattered and broken as the game goes on. So that's interesting. But I appreciate you answering that. That's awesome. Okay. Can you explain to our fans why your involvement in developing Prince of Persia seemed to end after Sands of Time? As far as I know, you were not involved with Warrior Within or the Two Thrones. Is that right?
That's right. So what happened is that the core team that I'd worked with on Sands of Time went on to develop what was going to be the next-gen sequel, at that time, Prince of Persia Assassin. And then a second team started... doing a sort of a quicker version on the PlayStation 2 generation, which was Warrior Within. But I wasn't involved in either of those because I went back to LA and pitched the screenplay for the Prince of Persia movie. So while the teams were making Warrior Within, I was writing the first drafts of the Prince of Persia movie for Jerry Bruckheimer.
Got it. Okay. All right. So maybe a little bit more of a contentious question coming next. There are some Jordan Mechner quotes floating around the internet that I would like you to verify or decline. Allegedly, Warrior Within was very much not to your taste and you were dissatisfied with many aspects of it. Can you tell me in your own words, is that correct or can you describe those feelings?
Oh gosh, I'm never going to live that one down, am I?
No.
Certain things about Warrior Within were sort of a marketing decision to make the game M-rated rather than teen at the time. For me, I'll just say cast iron thong. and no knock on anyone who enjoyed and loved Warrior Within, because for people who played the trilogy, it's a whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. I'll skip on to the next question, but I just want to give you the virtual handshake here. We are very much Sands of Time supporters on this show, so I give you the nod. Okay. So how do you feel that, how do I describe this? How do you feel knowing that a Sands of Time sequel was more or less scrapped for what became Assassin's Creed, or at least the vision changed, and Assassin's Creed has become one of the most successful franchises of the past 20 years?
Well, it's mixed. I think what I feel most now, 20 years on, is kind of honored that because Prince of Persia Assassin could have been great with that team, but it made total sense also for Ubisoft to create a new franchise, Assassin's Creed, which has gone on and become its own thing. So the fact that this came from Prince of Persia and is a way a descendant of it, I feel the same way that I do when I look at, Tomb Raider or Uncharted or things that
took influence from.
In some ways were influenced by Prince of Persia. I think that's what all creators kind of wish for. And because Prince of Persia itself owed so much to previous games that I'd played and that inspired me. So to be part of that progression of, all developers kind of building on the games that they'd played and are excited about, it's I'm glad.
Okay, gotcha. Now, can you speak at all about the canceled Prince of Persia project from circa 2018? In your memoir, because I have completed reading it, it seemed as though that project had profound ramifications on your personal and professional life.
The best answer I can give is to read Replay, because it tells the story of the Prince of Persia project that I moved to Montpellier for in 2016 and how that went. And it's an interesting story. It has a happy ending, as anybody who's played Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown can attest. That's not the project that I moved there for, but many of the people on the teams are the same. Ubisoft Montpellier Studio is wonderful talent. It's part of the reason that I went there. And there's people that I've worked with on past Prince of Persia games. I love The Lost Crown. I've been playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so as to the relationship between those different projects, including the unannounced one that it's talked about in Replay, it's in the book. But what I really wanted to express too is the human side of game development, because, you know, when we talk about games, it's,
sure,
you know, it's sort of to sell the game and we get into the details of what the game is.
Yeah.
But all game developers, we're also people.
Yeah.
And so,
sure,
you know, traveling for projects, having to balance projects and family life, like this is something that we all live through. So I wanted to kind of in Replay tell what it's like to be a game developer over those, you know, decades in which the industry has been getting bigger and bigger, going from like solo creation on,
sure,
Apple II to big teams, and kind of how that feels and how that ties into the other aspects of life.
Okay. I think the answer to this question is going to be no, but can you tell us if you have any involvement in the Sands of Time remake, or if you have any involvement in the franchise at all?
I mean, as Replay recounts, I've worked on various Prince of Persia projects over the years, like in different capacities.
Sure.
The Sands of Time remake, I was not on the team, but the team that was making it did contact me and asked, what did you want to put in the game that you had,
sure,
to take out for lack of space? You know, I shared the documents that I had, game design stuff. But the first, as your listeners may know, the first Sands of Time remake was developed in Pune, and that almost got finished and then
was scrapped.
Instead it got given to a different team in Montreal who are now working on it.
Sure.
So no, I'm not on the team. Yes, I'm in contact with them, and sometimes, you know, they ask me things.
Got it. Okay. Okay, so now, lightning round. Here we go. We're going to get to some fun questions instead of some hard-hitting questions. Let me ask you, what have you been playing recently? Like, do you actively game for fun?
This is going to sound very self-serving, but I'm playing Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. I have it on my... on my Switch.
Sure.
I brought it with me and I'm traveling, and it's a hard game for me. I'm not like a hardcore Metroidvania player, but I'm really enjoying this one.
Sure. Gotcha. Okay. If you had the dagger of time, what's a moment in your life you would rewind, or maybe a 10-second moment in your life you would rewind?
Oh, gosh. This morning as I was walking here to GDC and I stopped to get coffee thinking, oh, I'll get an espresso. It's going to take 2 minutes. And 30 minutes later, I'm just waiting as I've entered this Kafka-esque sort of digital thing where like every order has been entered into the computer and there's no way to,
you're right, to make it faster.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay. So this is a tradition on the show. Every guest that comes on the show, we ask to do the intro. So if you don't mind, could you say something like, hi, everyone, I'm Jordan Mechner, the creator of Prince of Persia, and you're listening to Goddamn GameCube.
Hi, everyone, I'm Jordan Mechner, creator of Prince of Persia, and you're listening to Goddamn GameCube.
Thank you very much, and it was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Replay came out yesterday, so fans, please read it, please buy it. Thank you so much, and we'll catch you next time on Goddamn GameCube.